Blog Talk Radio.
Playing Sports City Chefs from Amazon Music.
Yeah.
Back, listen, enjoy the vibe. Sip something, light it up, enjoy the ride. Cause the Sports City Chefs is on the night. In the kitchen cooking up, they on the ride.
Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs, Chefs. Sports City Chefs,
Yes, Lord, we got a brand new president. Joe Biden, we riding, I pray you heaven sent. Word from the wise, my people stay ahead of me.
Come on,
I've been relevant, trying to survive the elements. It ain't no love in these streets, these dudes telling it. Case go from cold to hot, state evidence. Kaboom, Sports City Chefs is in the room. Cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, blown like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City Chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the set again.
Sports City, Chef, Chef, Sports City, Chef, 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 coming through you from wherever you are, into your homes, into your phones, your TV. I hope you can listen to us. Streaming out wherever you listen to us. Thank you for having us. With the villain is back, the super villain himself. It's the Caller's Cookout. The villain versus Timeless, where good always wins. Caller number, as always, 929-477-2759. With you for the next 58-plus minutes or so. Every good hero needs a villain. Every good villain needs a hero. I don't do this by myself. Obviously, I got the best hero in town. My big brother, the man, the host, the head honcho himself, TP Timeless. TP, what's going on, my brother?
I done took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The kitchen Timeless is alive. I'm feeling some type of way, man, back in the building. A lot of things going on. This is a rare August for me as Hard Knocks is taking flight for my boys out there in the mid AK Michigan. So it's actually been pretty hyped for me, but it's a rocky situation in the Central right now in the AL. Everybody's going through their bumps and bruises. So sports is back at it, and the bird months are coming up. I mean, how are you though?
I'm good, man. It's busy evening. We talked offline a little bit. The little villain's back at it with football, so the villain gets busy. Got a lot cooking, though, so trying to make my way through it. I wanted to ask you about I only caught the first episode of Hard Knocks, but I definitely want to get your opinion on it so far. I liked what I saw. Hutchinson, I love that kid, man. He is a beast. So I liked what I saw so far. My kids actually watched it with me, which was kind of because it's not edited. So, you know, I had to, like, cut with the language, but it was, like, so good, like, to see, you know, my son watching it. And you know, he's like, why is that player crying? I was like, it's football, man. You get emotional, man. Like, yeah, I was like, you know, I watched Uncle Tide, you know, give an emotional speech before he had surgery. He's just, that's what it is, man. So, but I definitely want to get your opinion on that. But I want to bring in another host calling in from the 703. In all area codes in between. I think there's like three of them he calls from at a certain time. But, you know, we love him anyway. Sirius, Aaron Simmons in the building. What's going on, Sirius?
You know, Fran, I love this man. It's a pleasure to be here with you, man. The weather is turning. You know, it's time to get back to work, man. I hope everybody's enjoying their summer vacation, their summer break, man. I'm glad. Lil Villain putting the pads on and laying wood out there, beat people, man. I seen you and the missus, you know, JetBlue and JetSky all over the place, and TP, man. I keep an eye on my people, man, so I'm glad everybody's good, but it's time to get back to work, and my God, we got a lot to talk about, man.
Absolutely. I got one more vacation left taking the kids. We're going up to God's country, going up to Maine, so I got one more left, and then we're in for the for the foreseeable future. So it's good to hear your voice. I know you've been doing some stuff with the kids and the family. So, you know, we all been on our little break. So it's time to get back to work. You're absolutely right. So, like I said, call number 929-477-2759. TP, so I love the first episode. I didn't catch the second one yet because I've just been so busy. I wanted to catch it hopefully either this evening or tomorrow, try to find some time squeezing in. What is your impressions of Hard Knocks? I mean, it's your team, so I definitely want to get your opinion.
I'm going to be brutally honest. This is my first time ever watching Hard Knocks. I have watched one episode one time, and this is when T.O. was on the Cowboys. And I remember at the same time Pac-Man was on the Cowboys, and he was locking T.O. up. Yep. T.O. couldn't get a route off or anything. And then T.O. came to the sideline like, I'm going to fuck him up. I'm going to do this at his third. And then they showed T.O. do an in and up. So T.O. did that move, and then once he went upfield, Pac-Man didn't know that he stuck his foot in the ground, and he dipped on him. He burned the crap out of Pac-Man. And Pac-Man was like, you got to do double moves, huh? That's what you got to do. You got to do double moves, huh? So, like, that was real cool because, of course, I like both of the personalities. Of course, just hearing T.O. is more of a spectacle than Pac-Man, but just hearing Pac-Man just being riled up in practice was another thing, too. But I always left it alone because the teams that were there, I really wasn't too tied into with Cleveland or Cincinnati or just the bundle of teams that they did go up there with. I was just like, yeah, no, I'm not sitting at home on a summer day. But now it's like HBO was like, oh, yeah, you think you're tough? You are? I'm going to put your boys up there. So now I'm like, oh, God. So now I got to watch Hard Knocks because I love everything my boys do. And then the first episode was like, so I saw everybody, and I'm getting, because, you know, I follow everything that my boys do. So I'm getting bits and pieces. Then I got the trailer. I'm like, I got to watch it. And then they showed the speech before the show went down with Jamal Williams. And then hearing the actual full speech, him breaking down camp's first practice, it was like, okay. And then seeing what happened yesterday, is like the more and more I see it, is the more and more I'm getting hype of this Lions season, regardless of how things may go down in the preseason. It's just incredible how they're putting it together. And I think you may remember, Barry, but I know a lot of people that were around me, I swear to God that I wanted Malcolm Rodriguez. I was saying this before the draft that I wanted him. The Lions got him. And they're going crazy over him. Like, I'm like, I knew it. Like, thank you, God. Like, finally, one prayer got in, like, in the past, like, some odd years. You know what I'm saying? Like, give me one. You know what I'm saying? And it worked. So it's like, as long as he starts, and they said as of today, he started with the first defense. So it's like, oh, so you just moved all the way up the charts now. So they all in love with you. So I'm like, that's awesome. Because he's telling them, he wasn't even a freaking – first round pick, second round pick, third round pick, fourth round pick. He's like, what round you get picked? He said six. And I'm like, he was better than a sixth round. And the way he's coming out performing, not only in camp, but also in the preseason and laying people out, like he's bringing the lumber. Like that's something I saw. And just like you said with Aiden Hutchinson and the things that he's doing out there. And it's finally when karma really started to catch up to me. So, like, the same way I felt about Chet. You know, I was talking junk about Chet, and that Chet did good in summer league. I'm like, okay, so now I got to shut up. And then Hutchinson, I was like, I don't want him. He got shut down against Georgia in the playoffs, and you know, college football playoffs, and now he come out here and had back-to-back good plays, and then they got him off the field immediately. So I'm like, good. So if he's that much of a factor on our team, then just get him off the field. I don't want to see nothing happen to nobody because this is where we start losing people. The Lions will lose people in preseason. And week one, and then we hurt all season long. I know. Get these dudes off the field. Let's let us look like Brady and them. Like if Brady and them, they play one series. We get one series, sit down. Go get some Gatorade and get a towel. That's all you need to do. That's it. So I'm pumped. That Hard Knocks is awesome, and it, you know, week by week is getting better. I just want to see them perform. Now the next two games they have are on the road in the preseason, and the last one we play some corny team on the west part of Pennsylvania. So we play them in a week or two. So that goes down. So after that, you know, that's what it is, you know?
I mean, you know, TP, like, I watch it. It usually gets me into the season. It gets me hyped. And I've watched – and serious, I don't know if you've watched that. I'm pretty sure you have. Like, how they put the episodes together, like, because a lot of the stuff that you see – just happened like a couple days ago, and the editing frenzy that they go through to put everything together is amazing. So for me, like, because me and TP took classes on how to create, like, edit videos and make, you know, movies or all that, or TV, whatever. Like, we took production mm-hmm. classes. So to see that process of how they do it, it's amazing how they do it. It really is. So, Pierce, I don't know. Yeah. I'm pretty sure you've caught it. What's your opinion so far of Hard Knocks?
You know, I've been a Hard Knocks fan since the very beginning. I like TP. I've sat down and watched them all. Back when Baltimore was on it, and you got the Cowboys and the Bengals, and I think they did another squad that's escaping me. But, you know, like you said, Zillin, it kind of sets the stage for football. You know, football is around the corner when you start, you know, seeing Hard Knocks, and, you know, you start getting a up close and personal a view of how these players, you know, go through their day-to-day and everything like that. So I'm watching it. I'm intrigued by what's going on. It's unfortunate that, you know, the Lions are, you know, supported by, you know, big homie over there, because I can't stand him. But here's the thing, man. Like, I believe that the Detroit Lions are going to shock a lot of people this year. I really do. You know what I'm saying? If you look at how their schedule kind of lays out, you know, they're going to shock a bunch of teams. And I'm a guy who believes in, you know, omens and things of that nature. And I have yet to see a team that appears on Hard Knocks go out and just lay a complete egg, you know, that upcoming season. So, you know, out the game, they got the Eagles, the Commanders, the Vikings, Seattle, and the Patriots. It's very, very possible we'd be talking about a 3-2 ball club out the rip, which is a definite turn in the right direction from the trajectory that they were once going on. I've also seen reports, and I just posted it in our group thread, that they may be looking at a dude named Rudolph the Red-Nosed Mason, as far as trade partners and trades and things of that nature. So the Detroit Lions are definitely in the news. They're definitely on everybody's minds, especially for them being a Hard Knocks. And, again, looking at the schedule and the talent they've been able to acquire, I expect them to be relevant. You know, I don't expect them to win the division. I'm not picking them, you know, to go on some type of magic carpet run. But, I mean, you got the Packers, obviously. You got your division. You got the Panthers. You got the Jets. You got the Jaguars. You got the Giants. You know, I mean, there's some definite, definite winnable games on this Detroit Lions ledger. So, you know, 6-7 wins is not out of realm of possibility, which puts them right, you know, in the thick of things in the NFC, is potentially, you know, a step in the right direction. So I salute to them. And, again, back to Hard Knocks. Hell of a job that they're doing over there with Hard Knocks, man. I never want to see my squad on it, because that means we're going in the wrong direction. But shout out to them, man. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I'll never see my team on there, the Giants. But we'll definitely get into the NFC probably next week. I definitely want to focus on the AFC this week. But, yeah, they just do a great job. And like I said, I think me and TP talked about it. One of their free agent signings at receiver, sneaky good. They had some sneaky good receivers that they brought in. Swift is really good at running back. I was kind of bullish on Campbell, but, you know, watching him, I get it. I think he's got the resume. He's done his homework. He's been under some good coaches, and I think he's going to be a good coach. So I think you just got to give these guys time. The NFL just doesn't give guys enough time. You know what I mean? It's like 2 years or maybe three, and if by then you're not winning, they clip you and they go for the next guy or the hot guy. So you just got to give these guys time. Like Tomlin, you know, he won, but, I mean, he's been there forever. You know what I mean? You won't see that again. So it'll be interesting to see. Hopefully they stick with him, and I hope he does turn it around out there. NFC is winnable. NFC is – There's a couple good, really good teams, but after that, you know, there's 7 teams to get into the playoffs. You could be that team, so we'll see. But I want to switch gears. Before we talk some NFL, I want to bring up, because it did break earlier, a little earlier today, maybe around afternoon tea time, if you do afternoon tea. But, you know, LeBron James did get finally penned to paper or agreed to a two-year extension that'll keep him in Los Angeles at least until 2013, and then it has a player option, so gives the team a little bit of flexibility. But 2 years, $97 million, that will push him over the, I think it was the $530 million threshold, so he'll be the high, that's a half a billion dollars if you're counting at home. He'll be the highest paid guaranteed money player in basketball history. So, TP, I'll come to you first. You know, there was a lot of speculation that LeBron might not come back, you know, might be trying to make a power play or set things up so that he could try to play with his son potentially. But I think he does love it in L.A. He finally decides to extend. What do you think about the extension with LeBron and the Laker outlook?
This is very interesting because of all of the dismay that's going on right now, whether they want to keep Russell Westbrook or stay with him. LeBron James Jr. is in his senior year, and then next year he'll be a freshman in college. And if he's the one and done, it kind of sets the table for LeBron being able to move in that second year. You know, so I don't know which way it goes, but the one thing that kills me is he ended up signing a lot of money for these next 2 years. And I get it, LeBron, you're making enough money to be comfortable for the next three lifetimes, to get like right now.
Right.
And that doesn't help your team. Like, you signing damn near $50 million a year, and you know your team needs help. You guys know you need youth, and you're locking that up. So you're basically telling us that you're going to go crazy, which I know that you're going to look forward to breaking Kareem's scoring total right now. This is the year that you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
But other than that, I don't see the Lakers getting to a postseason run and winning a championship. That's what it's all about for me, for LeBron right now. I think that he should be chasing number five. He's on four. He has four. Yeah, right? So
yeah,
he should be trying to chase his fifth ring. So I don't think that helps the Lakers get them in the championship conversation where they make the postseason. There's, you know, room for it to happen, but I don't feel comfortable with what just happened. So I get it. The Lakers are desperate. They're going to throw everything they can to try and keep people in-house with how many things they flirted with, if they were going to keep Anthony Davis and Russ, or get rid of one or the other, get rid of both, so on and so forth. They were going to make sure that they kept LeBron in house, but he's making sure that those 2 years are there, and making sure his son is a one and done in college, because he's not that great to just leave from high school and you can't even do it anymore. So
right,
we'll see how it goes. So it's interesting right now, but I think that the money that he just signed for right now, this cripples the Lakers beyond people can see, because what, Russ is getting 47. He's getting 48. AD's getting like 42 or 41. You got rid of Monk and all of them. Who are you pulling in there? Like, Carmelo's going to be 38, and he's getting older. Like, I don't know which way the Lakers go. This is bigger than LeBron being there with a big contract. I'm questioning everything that just happened, you know?
So I gotta you're on the right track, TP, but I got to correct you, because this actually gives them flexibility, if you can believe it, right? Because it's an extension on his current contract, which is up the end of this season, right? So next year, Westbrook is off the books. That's 40-something million. You're right. Anthony Davis also has an opt-in, but I think that's in the next year. This actually gives them about $20 million or so in cap flexibility, because if he opts out, right, They can still sign him, because they have his rights. They can sign him over the cap. So it's kind of like what Harden did to give the Sixers flexibility. He opts out. They can sign some guys, either one big guy at $20 million or more, and then he can sign back in, and they don't. It works in the cap. So it does give them a little bit of flexibility. And the way that it works is on the scale that the cap is going to go up. It went up this year, and it's projected to keep going up, because the league is just making stupid amounts of money. So it actually does work in both sides' favor. So interesting enough, because I had to dig, because at first when I saw this, I was like, $50 million a year makes no sense. But then when I started watching like Woj and I read the articles and I was like, oh, okay, it kind of does make sense. So it does help both sides, ironically enough, and it kind of gives the Lakers that, all right, LeBron's here, we got to go in for it. They still don't have, I don't think, enough pieces as far as like able to do much, but you know, that's another argument for another day. But I'm serious. Give me your opinion. Then I got a caller coming and I want to bring them in. But what do you think about LeBron and his extension?
You know, honestly, this doesn't shock me, to be honest with you. I figured they would figure something out. I know there's a lot of hoopla and rumors about, you know, him wanting to go somewhere or try to wait to figure out if or where his son goes and, you know, go sign with that particular ball club. I honestly felt as though in order for the Los Angeles Lakers to do what they ultimately want to do, and that's compete for a championship, you had to have something solid locked up like a LeBron James. The other two pieces, like PP alluded to, are movable chess pieces. I mean, I don't foresee them getting rid of Anthony Davis, so that means Russell Westbrook is going to be probably on the move. His name is going to be brought up from now until the end of the year. By this time next year, talking about, you know, Russell Westbrook and what he wants to do. So, again, you know, to save everybody but his time, excuse me, this came as a no-brainer, and, you know, we're curious to see, you know, what the Lakers do with the flexibility that you speak of. Clearly, they need some help in some significant areas. I don't foresee them bringing back the whole entire band of players that they had last year. I don't see them bringing back Carmelo or, you know, or anything like that. I do think they need to go get themselves a legitimate point guard. If they swing and miss on getting Kyrie Irving, they need to get some type of mid-level point guard, somebody who can, you know, hit a jump shot and run the offense. And so with that being said, I turn it back over to you and we can let, you know, Mr. Harvey in the building.
Yeah, we got two calls, so I got to bring them both in. TP, real quick, you alluded to it. Do you think Bronny is a one and done? Do you think he has enough skill to be one and done?
I'm going to be honest. His name is what's making him a one and done. The talent they're playing out there in the West Coast, you got to see the guy that's defending him. He gets to the lane. Like, he just got a dunk that he had the other day, which was a good dunk. I'm not going to take anything away from it. But it's like, Look at the people that are in the paint. Nobody's closing the paint. The guy that was defending him just jumped with him. He really didn't, like, try to get after it. Like, he's not playing the quality of people that are in the Midwest or the East Coast. And not to take anything away from the West Coast, because there's good ballers that have come out of California, things of that nature. But look at Zaire Wade, Dwayne Wade's son, came out of there, didn't even make it. He didn't even make it. Okay. So it's like, LeBron James' son is going to make it off of his name alone, and then we'll see if he can carry a team, because he's going to be a point guard. He's not going to be a two guard in the league. He's going to be a point. He's 6'2", so you got to be able to run the show. And I get it. LeBron, you know, moves the ball as a point himself, but I don't think that he is. I think that he does need to spend some time in college and become better. But his father and, the demand of him playing on the same team as his son, that's going to get him to the league instantly, regardless.
Yeah, I haven't really seen him play. What I've heard is, like, he's not as good as people say is. So, I'm like, I don't know if it's hate for LeBron or if it's fact. So, like, I got to get it on.
No, he's speaking truth. I mean, I sit there and watch a lot of their games. And honestly, first of all, I think Zaire's a little better than Bronny, but that's just me personally. But ultimately, TP's right. The fact that his name is, you know, Bronny James is going to open so many doors for him that others – I'm going to struggle to get through just because of the name.
Okay. All right, fair enough. Thanks. I just definitely wanted to understand that because I don't really – I've seen maybe one or two clips, but I'm like, as a high school kid, I'm not watching high school kids. I have enough kids right now. But I got a call in from the 315, bring him in, a longtime listener and caller in, coming back. Chandler in the building. Chandler, what's going on?
What's up, man? How many kids you got now, about 10?
No, I only got three. I'm paying support for one. You know what I mean? But I got two in the house that run me dry. I got one I pay support for. I love her too. Shout out to my oldest.
I don't know if you remember when you had your first one. So, you know.
It ain't been that long. Oh, it ain't been that long. Please take them back. My youngest is going to kindergarten this year, Gemma. So, oh my God.
Geez.
Pray for me.
Seriously? I mean, your oldest. Wow. What's up, Sirius? The crazy
man. Oh, my God. How you been? Long time no hear from, man. I hope everything's good with you and the people, man.
Yeah, I'm just, you know, health and all that other nonsense, so.
Yeah,
but,
we all battle that.
Yeah.
Good to hear your voice, Chandler. Good to hear your voice.
Yeah, I heard what you guys were saying, and if his name was Bronny Johnson, he would probably be being recruited by the upper mid-level schools, maybe a SEC school, no Big Ten, Duke, none of them would be checking for him. So that's about where he'd be. That doesn't mean he can't get better, but that's probably about his skill set level right now. I think, unfortunately for him, he's being compared to his father in high school, and that's just unfair.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
Everything he does is being compared to his father, and LeBron didn't help this young man by saying, oh, I want to play with my son. And honestly, Bryce is better. Bryce is better. He's taller. He's better.
Wow.
So,
wow.
You know. All right.
It happens. It happens. I mean, what that was like Michael Jordan's son. You know, what was it, Jeffrey? Like, that was an unfair comparison. It was just, I totally hear you. And I, like I said, I haven't watched him play. I know who he is. I've heard of him. I couldn't pick him out of a lineup, but, you know, I don't know. And I heard he's being looked at by all the big schools. And to your point, Jeremy, it's probably because of his name. And it's no shade. You know, I don't want the kids to say I'm hating, but, you know, facts are facts. You know what I mean? So. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I just said what school wouldn't want him? Who wouldn't want LeBron James' son? So.
Exactly. I mean, and now with the deals that you can make in college, you know, that's more money that's coming your way. So why wouldn't you do that deal? I got Harvey on the line. I'm going to bring him in a minute, but Chan, I want to get your opinion real quick on LeBron opting into or at least doing a contract extension with the Lakers. What do you think about it?
I don't want to hear nothing else. I don't want to hear nothing else from him about what they didn't do, what they don't have. I don't want to hear it. Because you've locked yourself into an organization that doesn't have any draft picks because of you, that has a new coach because of you, that has Russell Westbrook because of you, okay? And you abdicated all responsibility last season because you made them bring in Westbrook, and then you never, ever, ever put your foot down and snatched him up and said, look, man, either get with the program or go away. You know, you left that all up to Frank Vogel, knowing Frank Vogel wasn't built for that. So I don't want to hear nothing else from LeBron. I don't want to hear nothing else from his camp. Shut up and deal with the fact that for the next 3 years you ain't winning nothing.
I mean, it's very possible. I mean, this year they're not going to win. They'll be good because if everybody's healthy, they'll have talent. But he gives them a little flexibility with the kind of contract, with the opt-out and all that kind of stuff. But, I mean, you look at the free agent landscape that's going to be up next year and the year after that. Who are you bringing in that's really going to move the needle? You know what I mean? And he's going to be, what, 30? He's 37 now. He'll be 38 in December. So that by then, when he opts out, he'll be 39.
He'll be 41 when his contract's up.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, what are we talking about here? Like, you know, he gives you flexibility, but let's keep it a buck. Like, you're not going to be, you know, we saw Jordan in his late 30s and 40s. I mean, and I know you're a freak, but let's keep it real. Father Time's undefeated. You know, it always catches up to you, unless you're Tom Brady, man, you know, whatever. But let me bring in Harvey. He's been waiting patiently, and I definitely want to bring him into the building, call him out of the 615. Mr. Harvey, what's going on, brother?
I'm doing all right, man. It's going to catch up with Brady, too. But listen, man, like, they're going to end up stunting this kid's development by pushing up the ladder too fast. And who knows if he's even going to be able to develop into a star. But if he goes to college and he doesn't really produce, there might be some coaches that don't necessarily want him only because there might be too many distractions. I mean, listen, Ben Simmons is supposed to be a surefire number one draft pick, and he was, but he didn't do LSU any favors the 1 year that he was there. So I think that, you know, if Bronny goes to college and he comes out prematurely, that may help him fall in the draft, or maybe somebody doesn't necessarily touch him. So that may ensure that he gets to the team that LeBron is on, but that's why that opt-out is in that contract as well. But real quick, man, the rubber's about to meet the road in the Western Conference, and you are only as good. I mean, listen, he's done a lot of good things in his career, but he may go out not with a bang, but just kind of like, you know, because you got a lot of good teams in that Western Conference, bro. You got Minnesota up and coming. You got Memphis up and coming. You got Golden State with the weapons that they have. You have Murray and Jokic back in Denver. Zion's healthy. New Orleans looks very promising. You got Dallas. I mean, where do you fit this? Where do you fit this Lakers team in? And then in a couple of years, Oklahoma City's got a lot of young people that are coming around too. So, I mean, where does this team fit in? It's going to be real interesting to see. And I haven't even mentioned the Clippers or Portland yet. So, I mean, there's no guarantee this team's even in the top five or six in the Western Conference. They're going to be good to make a play in. So, this is. You know, I can respect the fact that he kind of made the bed for this organization, so he's kind of staying around to sleep in it. But we'll see how well it turns out. I don't think it's very promising, and I'm a Lakers fan.
Yeah, I mean, what kind of came out was that Jeannie Buss wanted to make LeBron happy. That's our number one priority. Okay, you've done that at every turn, just like Chandler said. You know, with the coaches, with bringing in Westbrook, you got one chip to show for it. Great, but I mean, like, I don't see to Mike's point. There's a lot of teams in the West that are really good, and I don't know, just with guys healthy, that they'll be there because LeBron is still that dude. But I don't know, man. I don't know. They're not going to be able to build a team around their big stars this year. That's another year in his late 30s that you're wasting. You know, I just don't see it. I don't see it. I mean, we'll see. I could be wrong, but, you know, and Mike, you're the Laker fan. You see it every day, so you know what I'm talking about. So, it's going to be interesting, to say the least. But call in number 929-477-2759. If anybody has anything to add, go ahead. If not, I want to keep it NBA because I want to talk about KD real quick. So if anybody wants to talk about the contract, we're good. We can move on. Everybody's good? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for the most part, we can be all right for the most part. But like other than that, like I said, one thing about LeBron, mm-hmm. with the way that went down, he doesn't like to be around youth. They're going to need youth to turn that team around, if LeBron mm-hmm. leaves in 2 or 3 years, Russ leaves, they're going to leave that team to AD. AD's going to leave if he's by himself in Los Angeles. A lot has to happen with that Lakers team, and for them to get rid of guys like Monk and them that were young and sharp shooters, I don't know what the makeup is in that management office, but they are – going uphill with no legs. I feel bad for the Lakers right now. Well, I really don't, because I'm a Western Conference team. But, you know, it's a horrible sight.
Yeah, I mean, they couldn't pay him. They couldn't pay Monk. Monk took a pay cut to come there, and they couldn't pay him this year. Like, he'd be a fool not to cash in, especially with the way the league's making money. Like, he'd be a fool, right? So I can't begrudge him leaving L.A. to get more money. But you're right. The franchise is handcuffed, and they couldn't pay him. You know what I mean? Because they got $40 million-plus sitting on their books that they can't move. They tried to make a deal. I think they tried to work a three-way deal with the Knicks, and I think it was Utah, and that just fell apart because I think there wasn't enough picks. They don't even have picks. They have to put picks to get rid of Westbrook, and they don't have picks to get rid of Westbrook because they used all their picks to get Anthony Davis.
The only pick they have in the GM. The only first round pick to have in the next six drafts, New Orleans even has the right to swap picks with them depending on where they fall. So that's it.
Yeah. Well, somebody else was saying something too.
This is the harsh reality right now. I'm going to say this. People don't like that. I'll throw this out there. The better team in Los Angeles in the other locker room wearing red, white, and blue right now. It's a fact.
That's
right
a fact.
Now. They're on like a 3-year streak. They've been beating the Lakers up. Like they've been beating them up. So all of the people that are going to the Lakers, Kawhi is in his early 30s, Paul George is in his early 30s. They just got to a Western Conference Finals what 2 years ago, and Kawhi was out due to the tear, and hopefully he could get back and be in some type of his old self resemblance. But I feel like it's more talent with the Clippers than they are with the Lakers, and nobody would ever dream that. Of course, that's still the Lakers city, but Laker fans don't even feel good going to that arena losing. Like they were 33 or 49 and they didn't get younger. They're older. Like the better team in crypto.com center or whatever arena is wearing red, white, and blue until they go to the Forum.
You can't argue with that. They've loaded. They got their two stars coming back off a team that, you know, was pretty solid last year. I don't know how you can argue that. They're in a lot better shape, which is crazy to say that the Clippers are in better shape than the Lakers. Wow. Mm-hmm. I mean, because the Lakers are trying to get – they're doing everything they can but, you know, beg to get rid of Westbrook and get Kyrie Irving in the building. It's not going to happen. So, speaking of Kyrie, on the other side of the map on the US of A in Brooklyn – KD allegedly met with owner Josai in London and reiterated his plans to want to be traded and said, if you want to keep me, get rid of Steve Nash and Steve Marks. So, TP, I'll come to you. You can break the whole situation down. You can take it from any angle. If you were the owner, if you were KD, if you were Nash, how you feel. But, in general, what do you think is going to happen here?
You know, there was a song that came out in the 80s called A Children's Story by Rick, and it's when Ricky said, here we go. He starts going crazy, right? This is where this stuff goes crazy, man. Because y'all know me. Everybody here know me. I've talked to y'all on the phone, personal conversation, everything, from Chandler on down. I'm a diehard fan. I love every last one of my teams. And when KD left the Thunder, of course, I'm going to be a bitter fan because it's like we were up 3-1. We were in front of the doorstep of a finals, and you left basically with the gun in your hand, and you just dropped the clip out the gun and then went to Golden State and got yourself an easy championship because there wasn't no push towards you guys losing the next two seasons with you with the Warriors. The Warriors built that team. You made them a super team because you went there. And You basically said, oh, I didn't like the way things were around Steph. Now, this is part one. This is like Friday, you know, the 13th, you know. So part one is he didn't like the way that the organization was swirling around Steph. They had to build around Steph to get to that. You didn't just come there and think that they were going to make you king, like you were Killmonger or something. So that's part one. He ends up getting hurt. Karma bites him. So then he comes to Brooklyn and thinks that it's going to be all sweet with Atkinson. They push Atkinson out the door. They get Atkinson out of there, and he gets Nash himself. He handpicks him. Now, this is the one thing that I don't like. It's like, okay, I'm not holding any punches no more. So, Sports City, y'all got to bear with me. I've been doing this for years, holding punches, but I got to do it. This dude didn't coach a youth league. He didn't coach high school. He didn't coach college. He didn't coach a prep team. He didn't coach JUCO. He didn't coach nobody. Y'all got him there off of a co-sign of a KD and possibly Kyrie, and knowing that D'Antoni was the coach there too. Like they just gave Nash that because they literally liked the image of Steve Nash. And then once he started running the show, they knew that they couldn't get past his ISO situation, and that's the same type of ball that D'Antoni was running while they were in Phoenix. Predictable. Everybody's seen it before back in the mid to late 2000s on what Phoenix was doing. They couldn't get past Boston. They got swept, and it don't look like it's going to get better. That's why KD, like, give me a real coach, but you can't keep sitting up here hand-selecting how you want things to go. You are, what, 34 this year? You'll be 34 in September? Mm-hmm. How many scenarios are you going to set up for yourself? You keep going place from place to place. What, you're going to leave Brooklyn and go somewhere else? You're going to go to Boston, but Boston's going to give up Jaylen Brown? Where Jaylen Brown played the best this postseason, I think, over Jason Tatum. I think Jason Tatum need to take a backseat to Jaylen Brown, but nevertheless, he's the face of the organization. That's what Boston's going to do. Stop trying to find an easy way to get yourself a championship ring. KD, to me, the way that you're setting the table, you will never be top 10 all time. Never. Never. Steph actually made me, like, pull my hair out and say, you know what, Steph might be top 10 all time because of the way that he did it this year and got his fourth championship. You were in situations where you could have stayed in Golden State and made that magical. You could have made something happen in OKC and feel like you really earned it because there was a team there, and they were drafting hellified to get name after name there. Just the unpleasant thing was Russell Westbrook. You sat there and said, you know what, keep Russ, I'm going to leave. Like, you made that whole scenario of you there look cowardice, and that will never shake off of you until you start to really play basketball and keep quiet. Now you're in a storm of everything that's going on around you, and let's just say you hear lightning and thunder, and guess who the lightning and thunder is? Charles Barkley. So now you can't even get away from Charles Barkley, because Charles Barkley's going to be every game you go to that's prime time, talk a jug about you. He's going to be in your ear regardless. You can't get past a bigger personality than Charles Barkley. He's winning the war because you keep buying that. And KD has bunny ears. Like, he hears everything. So he set this bed. He's going to have to sleep in it. I don't know how to get away from this one. I don't even know what coach he's trying to get. But maybe Mark Jackson. I don't know who they can get to try and set the table for Brooklyn to win now. Not like, oh, he got a season. No, they don't even have that type of time. KD's getting older. That's why they were saying he's looking at talking about retirement, even though he's saying that's not true. But all of this is around you. You got a hellified storm around you. So I really don't know the way this go down, but he's looking like a laughing stock right now. KD, you can't shake it at all. And I'm not holding punches.
I appreciate it because you went through the whole gambit that I would have went through. I've been watching, you know, listening and hearing every day about it, and some people are trying to say that the players have leverage and KD has leverage. Where? How does he have leverage just because he's a superstar? They haven't won with you, so what, you don't play? They ain't going to win without you either. Who cares? We haven't won. I paid you your money. I gave you everything you wanted. I think we talked about it when the news broke. I gave you everything you wanted. Just like you said, TB, you wanted Kyrie, I got him. You wanted Atkinson gone, I got him. You wanted Steve Nash here, I got him. You wanted your boy DeAndre Jordan here, I overpaid for him, I got him. All I got, what I got to show for it? A one series win and a foot on the line. That's what I got. Like, what are we talking about? And then you opt in, you signed an extension for 3 years. I got you on the contract. Sit out if you want. I dare you to sit out. See what happens. I can't lose if you sit out. I can't win if you sit either. What's the difference? I mean, Chandler, I'll go to you. What do you think about KD? Does he have leverage? Is he going to play this year in Brooklyn? What happens?
He does have leverage, but a couple things. See, I never had a problem with KD going to Golden State because, if you remember, that was around the time that this narrative got started in the media and in fans bought into it that unless you won a championship, you wasn't a great player. Nonsense, right. By the way, because then you had people talking about Andre Iguodala got two championships. He should be in the Hall of Fame. Andre Iguodala ain't no damn Hall of Famer. All right? But that was the narrative. So KD said, oh, since that's the game y'all want to play, I'll play your game. He went and won two championships. Now what you going to say? The problem in Brooklyn, and just a bit of there's a lot of revisionist history, Kyrie wanted Nash. KD wanted Ty Lue, but because he let Kyrie dictate everything, they got Steve Nash. Okay? That's where KD is at fault. Okay, you wanted to play with Kyrie, fine. But then you went there and played the I ain't got nothing to do with it, listen to Kyrie, knowing Kyrie is a clown. So you got rid of Kenny Atkinson because Kyrie didn't want to run. Literally because he didn't want to run in practice. So you got rid of Kenny Atkinson. You brought in a clown in Steve Nash who should not be a head coach. Then you brought in that clown D'Antoni who shouldn't be anywhere near basketball. You got them to pay a stiff in DeAndre Jordan, okay? And then they trashed the team and got rid of all these good young players. Now you want to go. Dude, this is on you. And not because so much of him making these demands, it's because when you had an opportunity to stand up to Kyrie, not the organization, to your man, you folded like a tent. And you know what? I'm putting a lot on the organization too. Sean Marks, here's a thought. You should have had some damn backbone and said, no, you can have the coach, you can have DeAndre Jordan. You can't have both. Okay? But if you keep, I mean, you got kids. If you keep giving your kids something every time they ask for it, what happens the first time you say no? Kid going to lose his dog or mind. Okay?
I'm going through it right now, Chandler. Going through it.
That's literally what we're dealing with here, is you spoiled this kid, and now you don't understand why he don't want to act right. Okay? I don't know why he don't act right. You don't gave him every damn thing he asked for. I want to stay up till 6 in the morning. Okay. I want to eat candy for dinner. Okay. I want sugar. Okay. Now you say eat a vegetable. He's like, ain't no damn vegetable. You got to eat. Like, ain't no damn vegetable. That's really where we at. KD could decide to make this very uncomfortable in camp. You actually have a decent roster right now. I think Ben Simmons, now he's out of Philadelphia, and with an organization that's just going to say, listen, Ben, we don't need you to be a damn shooter. Just do you. Be the all-star defender and passer and rebounder that you can be. Everybody seems to get Ben Simmons was an all-star when he couldn't shoot. He was still a damn all-star, by the way. Okay, so you get him back to playing his best self, right, without worrying about shooting. You have shooting. You have a kid in the middle now. You with the kid Claxton. You actually have a decent team. If Joe Harris, who sucks in the playoffs, we all know that, if you get anything out of Joe Harris, that's a bonus, right? So, KD, you really don't want KD screwing this up because now you still have to fire Steve Nash, mind you. But what I would do, I go ahead and trade KD. The minute he's gone, I'm firing Steve Nash and getting a real coach. That's all.
Right. I totally agree. I literally had an argument with my wife. I blame myself for spoiling these damn kids. And then when I tell them that I ain't going to get them something, you know, that's my fault. I'm the jerk. You know what I'm saying? Because I shouldn't have spoiled these damn kids. And keep you know, I mean, but I spoil my kids. I do spoil them. Listen, you're so right because it's like at this point, you need, and I said this to a friend of mine too, and we said it on the show, serious, I said it too. Do you know Kyrie's played more games than KD? Pause. You know Kyrie has played more games for the Brooklyn Nets than KD. Kyrie Irving.
Wow.
And I haven't gotten my money's worth.
That's horrible.
I've actually given you another contract. I told Kyrie to kick rocks, opt into your deal, and earn the contract that you want next year. I think KD's doing this to try to get leverage to get his boy paid. That's what I think he was trying to do. No, I ain't paying you for not playing. Hey, dude, play more games than you. I'm not supposed to pay both of y'all. I paid KD. I gave you a contract when your leg fell off. You blew your Achilles in the finals. I still gave you a contract. You sat out the whole year. I paid you to sit out the whole year. And this is how you repay me? Like what's that SRTP? This is the thanks I get? Like Dr. Dre? I started this case, and this is the thanks I get? Like, serious, please continue. Serious, please let me know what case happened.
You know what? Here's the thing. Like, I want to jump in and kind of continue this, but honestly, you know, the two big guys, they had and ate all the food off them, but I will say that. At the end of the day, the Brooklyn Nets, they have no choice. They can't show up to camp with either Kevin Durant or Steve Nash. They can't. So one of them has got to go before we get to camp next month. You know what I'm saying? The season starts in October. Camp is in September. Somebody got to go. And honestly, at the end of the day, I do not foresee them showing up to camp with the Kevin Durant. So with that being said, I think KD's gone. I think they move on from KD. Because you don't want to sit there and go back and, you know, after you dealt with the backlash and dealt with everything by hiring Steve Nash. Now, granted, to Steve Nash's credit, he did come out and say, you know what, I'm very fortunate, blah, 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 the second, the third. I think it's PR, that, or whatever the case may be. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, this has become so damn messy that there's no way that Kevin Durant can walk back in that locker room. So you have to figure out some type of package, some type of situation to get him out of Brooklyn before September hits. You know, now we can sit here on different social media platforms and, you know, on this network and other networks and kind of, you know, estimate and guess what where he may go and what's the end of the, you know, where he may end up. But at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying, what TP said was right, what Villa said, you said was right, what Chandler said was right. We didn't even get to Harvey yet, but I'm sure he's going to agree with the rest of us. What everybody said here is correct. So what's next? You know what I'm saying? Like, Steve Nash is going to coach his last year there, and then Kevin Durant's going to go jump on, you know, another team and tear that team into the mud. Keep in mind, it's always everybody else's fault. Kevin Durant has mastered the ability to point the finger at somebody else. Keep in mind, he wasn't going to say, but it was Draymond Green's fault. It was the team was built around Steph Curry. You know, he comes to Brooklyn. You know, it's Steve Nash's fault. You know, Kyrie Irving's fault, and you know he didn't have the size. You know, 10 shoes. You know, instead of an 11.5 shoe, they would have beat them. He's always kicking the buck. He's always passing the blame. At some point, KD has to look at himself in the mirror, brush his hair, and figure out, yo, my guy, it's me. I'm the one standing in the need of prayer. I'm the one that has the problem. And until Kevin Durant does that, it doesn't matter where he goes, he's always going to be a cancer. He's always going to be a problem. It happened in OKC. I mean, we have TP sitting here. It happened in OKC. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So from the moment he got into me, from the moment he left Texas, Kevin Durant has been a problem, you know, on a team. It has to stop because he's wrecking franchises. You know, again, he's a hell of a talent. We're not sitting here trying to poo-poo this man's skill. But at the end of the day, he's trying to be LeBron James and orchestrate stuff, and he doesn't have the LeBron James skill set to do it. You know what I'm saying? LeBron James put the big three together in Miami. They won a championship. Great, they put it together. He's trying to do the same thing, and he's wrecking teams doing it.
I mean, I can't just Mike, go ahead, because I can keep eating, and I don't want to take off people's
No, throat, so there's a couple things you said there that I kind of hit on, but I want to rewind. When he first left OKC, he tried to throw shade at Westbrook. He tried to say, hey, I was tired of this system where it's like, okay, it's your turn. Now it's my turn kind of thing. And he tried to make it look like Westbrook was just kind of like, I mean, they were just kind of taking turns out there. However, fast forward a couple of years, Paul George goes to Oklahoma City and said he had never been around a guy who worked so hard at the game and who spent so much effort even on his off-court stuff to make sure that he had himself in good shape. And Paul George credits a lot of his success and ability to bounce back from his injuries and whatever else, and a lot of his success in Oklahoma City, to what he learned from Russell Westbrook. So I'm not sure that Westbrook was the problem that KD made him out to be when he kind of tried to throw a little salt over his shoulder on his way out the door. Also, I'm glad you mentioned LeBron in this, because at some point, both of these men, but since we're talking about Kevin Durant right now, have to be able to take some accountability and be like, I'm part of the reason why this isn't working. Listen, it's hard enough to be a superstar player and carry a team. First of all, KD's not that alpha dog. His skill set is, but he's not a leader like that. Okay, I firmly believe that. But what I will say is, stop trying to be the general manager as well. Stop trying to dictate all the personnel moves and everything else. To give input, fine. But stop trying to dictate all the terms and everything that the team does around you, because we got examples on both coasts right now that say, yo, that doesn't work. And this is a league with a lot of up-and-coming stars. These young bucks coming into this league, like the talent that these youngsters have, they start, I mean, listen, they're not showing respect. They're trying to push some of these old heads out of the way, right? And so if you don't do this the right way, not only do you not win, but you put your franchise in peril for several years to come. That's what we were just talking about on the West Coast, and if we're not careful, that's what's going to happen with Brooklyn on the East Coast as well. The future was so bright when they signed him, when they got everybody together, and this is going to be the next championship team, and they're going to bring a title to Brooklyn, I mean, to, you know, to the five boroughs before the Knicks do, and yada, 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 and so on. And now look what happened. Like you said, one series win, you know, a foot on the line, and then you get swept the next year in the playoffs. It's not pretty. It's an ugly situation, and leverage or not, if they do got some leverage, then that should mean that you should be able to look at it and take some damn accountability.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. A lot of people, and especially it's the younger guys, it's the younger people saying, like, the player empowerment and everything, which is cool. Yeah, you want to consult your star player if you make organizational changes. Like, oh, like, listen, like, it happened when, like, I just watched the captain before A-Rod was traded to the Yankees. They asked Derek, yo, listen, we're going to make this deal. Are you cool with it? Because we know you have problems. So it goes back then in all sports. Like, your star player should be consulted. But at the end of the day, you play outside the players, right? LeBron, you're the GM in L.A. You got one championship and two seasons you didn't make the playoffs. It ain't working. You made me bring in X, Y, and Z. It ain't working. And you don't care about the future of the team. You're like, damn the draft pick. Do what you can so I can win. It's about me. That's not how a GM operates. You know what I mean? Like, these dudes, you know, listen, for better or for worse, Steve Nash is the coach, and his reputation is being dragged through the mud. He has a job to do. He might not get another job. Who knows if he wants it? But, like, because of this, who's going to hire him as a coach? He might not get another job again. Steve Marks might not be able to get another job again because you're just dragging these dudes in the mud. And for what? So you look right? Because you want to – you can't lead in the way that they need you to lead, and you can't tell Kyrie, yo, dude, just stand up to your boy. Like, that's all you need to do as a leader. You can't even do that, but you want to tell us how to dictate this whole organization? Like, there's people that – there's lives on the line, man, that, you know, assistant to GMs, assistant to coaches. Nash gets fired, the whole assistant staff gets fired. Where are they going to find the job at? Like, it's not that easy, like, me or them. That's – come on, man. That's not how it's worked. That's not how it works. We watched the Last Dance. They told Jordan to kick rocks. He's the greatest basketball player, in my opinion. They told him after his sixth ring, I don't care. You're kicking rocks. This is Jordan. What do you think he's going to do to you? Like, anybody else wants to get a taste of this? Anybody else want to keep eating on this and put in their last words? Because I said enough. Listen, if I'm the owner, if I'm Shy, I dare you. I dare you to sit out next month. I dare you. Double dare you.
Yeah, you know who KD is? KD is that friend, that partner you got that when y'all go to club, he starts off all the ruckus. And then when it's time to really go out in the parking lot and handle it, he can't be found. And LeBron is the dude that throws one punch. And then after everything is over, talks about how he was hitting everybody. Both of them need to go somewhere.
It's not KD. I mean, it's just different levels to it, man. But it's like at the end of the day, like, player empowerment is cool, but you don't pay nobody's salary. The owner does. The owner got way more money than you, brother. They run this thing, man.
Corny.
Like, you don't
They're
run the
corny.
Organization. You don't cut the checks.
My man Hov said like this, you know the pipe, a lot of the motorbike, but one bust a grape in the
boot fight. Like, facts. Like,
yeah.
Oh my God. Listen, I think, serious, you could be right. I just think I'm not getting the value I want for you. I ain't trading you. If I can't rebuild my organization to win, because I can win with you. let's be clear. Like, TP, you said it. Like, Joe Harris, he comes back. These guys come back. They can win a championship, right, with a healthy Ben Simmons defending, Kyrie Irving locked in trying to get his money, KD available for the full season, Joe Harris, Claxton, Seth Curry, who can shoot. They got a team that can win a championship. If I can't trade you and still win a championship, then I'm not trading you. Period.
See, the problem with that ideology, villain, and we can move on if you want. The problem is you have to be able to buy into what the coach and everything is going on. And right now we got two superstars that ain't buying into nothing. Like, KD don't give a rat behind about these Nets. Kyrie Irving's buying houses in L.A., and he's trying to get out of there and all that type of stuff. So in order for you to win a championship, we all know this, you got to be all in. And right now, neither one of the two stars that, you know, you would need to be all in to go chase the damn thing, they don't care. So at the end of the day, if you're half in, half out, I'd rather you be all out and get me somebody in who's in. That way we can make an attempt than to, you know, have you half, but, you know, half-assed or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And if you're going to – if you truly want to set your organization up to be relevant and be a contender, a perennial contender, not a flash in the pan, hell, you know what? I'm sending you to Sacramento. Go get – you know what I'm saying? Go get me – I'm sending you to Indiana. I need Buddy Hield. I need you know what I'm saying? I'm trading you to the hinterlands, bro. All right? And I'm getting a couple of draft picks, and I'm getting a couple of solid players, but I'm going to establish my culture. I'm going to make sure that my team can be successful for the next 10 years, not the next three. That's been the next problem all along. Nobody's looking long-term. They're all thinking short-term. If they're thinking long-term, KD and Kyrie are gone already. They're gone already. Okay, and then you decide if you're going to keep Steve Nash, and then you say to everybody that's left, listen, this is how this is going to be, okay? You take the Pat Riley approach. I'm going to hear what you have to say, and I'm going to tell you get the hell out of my office, and I'm going to do what I need to do. But I did listen to you, so I made you feel good. Now go away. That's how we're going to do business.
Here's the thing, though.
Go ahead, Mike. Let Mike get in first here. Go ahead, Mike.
No, all I was going to say is TP had the best line a few weeks ago about what he was trading. Remember what you said, TP, a couple of weeks ago? It's been about a month now, but you were talking about what you were trading to.
The Rancho Cucamonga Cockroaches.
There you go.
Here's the deal. Like, I would do the same thing, and then serious, you can come right on top of me, right? But not like that. No homo. But seriously, like, you come
pause.
But seriously, if you trade him to a dirtbag team, which I would do because I'm a jerk, I'm a villain, then I'm messing it up for the future, because then no team is going to ever want to come. No player is going to want to play for me because I treated a star player like garbage. You know what I mean? Like think about like the Bulls. Like, how long did it take them to get players in Chicago after they treated Michael Jordan like garbage? You know what I'm saying? Like the Knicks treated Carmelo like trash in the end. They can't get nobody to come in here. So, you know, every move like that has a consequence. You know what I mean? I would trade him to the Cucamonga Cockroaches. I'd trade him to, you know, the Tropical Thunder with, like, Andre 3000 and you know, Will Ferrell, and be like, go ahead, go play. You know, go win a chip out there. But that's just me. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I mean, I was going to say something on the back of what Chandler was saying. The problem that I want to run into with that type of philosophy is that in today's NBA, it's all about the popcorn, instant gratification. And we've seen that model work. We've seen, you know, the big three team up in Miami and get a ring. We've seen, you know, the Boston Celtics, you know, go on that run and get a ring. So to take the Pat Rowley old school, you know, let me hear what you got to say, get the hell out of my office approach, you know, is going to be lost on a lot of the players because we've seen the opposite work. Now, to his point, that's what actually needs to happen. You know what I'm saying? I honestly believe, especially in Brooklyn, but not everything is created equal. You know what I'm saying? If you are in a better situation or in a different situation with another organization, another franchise, you know what I'm saying? Maybe Miami, you can have a conversation about, like, let's go get a star pop in here, whoop-de-whoop, there you go. But with a team that is so fundamentally flawed and broken, you do have to build that from the ground up, and that rebuild take. I'm a Houston Rocket fan, y'all know this. It's gonna take me, you know, 7+ years before my squad is relevant again in basketball. But at the end of the day, that's where we're at. Miami and you know Chicago and these other squads, Milwaukee, they're a lot farther along. Their foundation is secure, so they can walk into a GM's office and be like, yo, this is what we need to do. This is what I want to do, you know, and make it happen. So I agree with Chandler, but also kind of, you know, you got to acknowledge that we've seen it work the other way too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, but,
go ahead, Chandler.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, but Miami has still been a perennial contender with Pat Riley doing business. Hey, remember, LeBron wanted him to fire the coach there, whose name just left my mind, and Pat Riley told Pat Sam. He told Pat Sam that that's going to be your coach,
yeah.
So deal with it. That's kind of what I'm saying is the Nets need to establish
okay.
a culture where, yes, you're going to listen to your star player, but you're not running things, okay? I'm going to listen to you to a point, and then I'm going to say, get the hell out of my office. That's all I'm saying. And they need to establish that, and, yes, they have to take a step back to do it, but for the long-term viability of your team and the fact that you still want fans showing – listen, fans were showing up when all they had was Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert. Fans were coming. That team was good
there.
Team. Everybody liked that team, okay? So, you know, don't tell me that you need a name because – and listen, Spencer Dinwiddie is a clown as a person, but Spencer Dinwiddie can play, all right? Caris LeVert could play. Jared Allen could play. You had a good team that everybody liked. They fought hard, and they were on the come – and you blew it all up for two space cadets.
And that's the thing. They had a culture that they were building because, truth be told, the Nets had no business winning that. I was at those games. I went to a game. They had no business being a solid team, but because of what the deal they made with the Celtics, you know what I mean? They should have had Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. They traded it all the way for those old, you know, old dudes. You know what I'm saying? Like KG and company and Paul Pierce and what have you. So there was no way that team should have been bounced back. They built a culture there with Kenny Atkinson. You came in, like Chandler said, and you blew it to hell. And then I let you guys do whatever you wanted. I let you have say every step of the way. And look at where it got me. But now, you know, they came back and said, no, we run in this. This is how we're going to do it. I'm not playing Kane into Kyrie. You're not getting an extension. Go find a deal if you want. Couldn't find a deal. Opt into your contract. And I love Sy's tweet after. He just said, I support Steve Nash and Marks, and we'll do what's in the best interest of this franchise. Basically, do it. You go find a deal if you can go find a deal. I'm not sitting here. I'm not going to bow down. That's where that's at. I mean, I don't know. I'm hitting this weed good. This is a good conversation right here. But I don't know if anybody wants to get another crack at this. You know, we can move on. We got like 20 minutes or so left anyway. You good? Everybody good? All right, good. All right. So call in number 9294772759. I could talk about this all day. I could literally just do a whole show on this because there's so many different. And listen, the organization's at fault too. They're not – their hands are – you know, just because they're washing their hands in a different sink doesn't mean their hands ain't dirty. Everybody's hands is dirty in this piece. So, you know, but at the end of the day, they got a business to run. They got an organization to run. So, but I want to talk NFL. The NFL season is about to kick off. I was going to do the AFC, but I really kind of feel like doing the NFC this right now. So we can do the AFC next week. But I want to do the NFC TP. So let's get started. Let's talk about it. Defending champs, the LA Rams. getting their season started. You know, Matt Stafford with the elbow problem. You know, we'll see how that works out. Tom Brady, he's back for one more season after he said he was retired for about 45 days. You know, like, you know, he's like the Wolf of Wall Street. I ain't fucking leaving. I ain't leaving. So he's back. We got that bad man, I guess you can call him, in Green Bay. No receivers to throw to. He complaining. He's too big catching nothing but catching the breeze. That's about all they catching. Dallas got all kinds of issues. TP, if you had to pick one team in the NFC that you like coming out to represent in the Super Bowl, who do you think it is?
Wow, we're going there right now. August? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a preview of the NFC.
I don't know right now. That's a big question. I was not ready for that. NFC East, it's y'all, Dallas, the Commanders, and I'm just trying to do this as quick as possible. I'm trying to put the four and four together. The South is the Panthers, the Bucks. The Bucks would be probably a team I could see. The Falcons, the Saints.
What team do you like?
You're trying to give me a Super Bowl, that's tough. You dug for that one. And the West, I don't think the Rams coming back for that. I don't think so. And in the North is black and blue. I think this is the see the NFC Championship game could be the Packers and the Bucks, right? This is the last shot for both of them. This is the last shot for Brady because, of course, this is going to be Brady retirement year. And for Rodgers, even though he signed that $200 million, like, this is a team that they just got rid of Devontae Adams, and everybody's like, oh, we got to see how he survived without him. I don't even want nobody to push the button because Rodgers still dangerous, right? But it's like, you got a championship 11 years ago, like going on 12. It's like, you're going to have to show for something. Or obviously, I could care less how dynamic you look on the field. You're no better than Eli. You're no better than a Ben. You're no better than people that put up two championships until you get that second one. And Pittsburgh handed that to you, that championship, too. So you got to prove that you can get it done. And I don't want to push him because Rodgers still is one awesome quarterback. But enough is enough. All the money that you soaked up, how many times you threatened him to get you out of the air or you're going to retire and become the Jeopardy host, I don't want to hear it. So I think that is the potential NFC championship game. Whoever wants it the most, they're going to get it. But, you know, ideally, I'm going to say it like this. Just to give you an answer, if you remember how Peyton Manning left the game, he didn't look like anything. He won a Super Bowl with 149 yards passing, terrible, throwing ducks all around the field. C.J. Anderson was probably the best player on the offense, and Von Miller won the MVP. Just picture what they probably do for Brady on his send-off, and Brady don't look like Peyton with a crick in his neck and can't make throws. So Brady may potentially get there. I'll say the Bucks, just because this is potentially Brady's last season, just to give you an answer.
Yeah, he would do it just to piss me off, too, right? I can't, just to piss me off. How do you get Julio Jones? Really?
And then Julio's around. And then Julio's in Florida now. The Lord.
When Godwin coming back? Like, really? Really? I mean, he's got his guy.
Go ahead. I was going to say, this guy had Antonio Brown and Julio Jones in a calendar year. Yeah, I remember back when we was arguing about who was the better receiver out of them two. This is going to be wild.
Exactly. It's just like some kind of unfair Madden trade that just kind of went through. Unbelievable. Mike, I gave TP a tough one. You can go Super Bowl. You can go. I like how TP kind of set it up with a championship game. But who do you like in the NFC like right now?
No, I mean, I would have to favor Tampa just for a lot of the same reasons he did. I think they're going to be strong. I think Minnesota could be strong in the North as well. I look for. I don't know that Rodgers has the weapons around him in Green Bay now. And it's funny because he threw a fit. He got Randall Cobb, and then they traded his best receiver, and you don't see him crying now after he got that big contract deal. So, I think the one
bugaboo for Tom Brady, except for during the regular season, has been the Saints' defense. They have had it. They've been able to confuse him and make him look old at times. I agree with TP, though. I don't think that the Rams are going back. I don't think anybody from the East is coming out. So I think it's set up for Tampa in the NFC. You know, I picked Tampa last year and I was wrong, so I'm going to pick them again and hope I'm wrong again.
That offensive line worries me, though, with the injuries that they're starting to get already, and you know, the season hasn't even started yet. And, you know, I just love nobody's mentioned the Cowboys because they're a dumpster fire. McCarthy is just on his last leg. He's like, I think he wrote on his sign underneath his name tag. I think he wrote Peyton underneath it, Sean Payton, because he already knows he's out of the job. Chandler, who do you like in the NFC?
Well, I think this is going to be the year that all four quarterbacks in the championship games are black. And the first year black quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. But listen, Aaron Rodgers is going to keep having flashbacks from the psychedelic drugs he was taking in the Amazon. So he's done. You know, he's sitting around blaming everybody but himself. So he ain't doing nothing this year. Listen, Julio Jones in his prime was constantly running up to my knee, my ankle, my back. Okay, he's going to play three plays, right, and his whole lower half just going to explode. So I don't care about Julio Jones because he's like 800 years old and he can't take a step without tearing a muscle. If Jameis can stay healthy, which is an if because his knee has been giving him issues since he got tore up, but Jameis can stay healthy, I see Jameis and Trey Lance in the NFC Championship game. And in the AFC, I got Lamar and Mahomes. And then I got Jameis.
Okay. Save the AFC. Save that. Save that AFC. We're going to do that next week. Save that.
Oh, okay. So NFC, I got Jameis and Trey Lance.
Interesting. A lot of people liking Trey Lance this year. San Francisco's got talent. Let's be clear. They do have talent. And, you know, I feel like, and I think we said it on the chat, Sirius, I'm going to come to you. You know, I think a lot of people giving Jimmy G a hard time, but, you know, he's one throw away from being a Super Bowl champ, you know, and he put that team in the NFC Championship game last year. You know, I think he gets a bad rap, but that's a talented team that went on a run. And if Trey Lance is the real deal, you know, look out. But, I mean, seriously, who do you like in the NFC right now? Who do you think can get
out of that? I hate the fact that you went to Chandler before me because my answer was going to be the 49ers. I honestly believe that what they've been able to put together. You know, if Lance is halfway decent, like we're all alluding to, this team is going to be nasty. We all know they're going to run the football exceptionally well, control the clock. They're going to play solid defense. And honestly, they have Aaron Rodgers' number in the playoffs. It doesn't matter where they play him, home, away, in the dome, on the grass, and Mars. It doesn't matter where they play Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. They just seem to have their number. I will say this, just, you know, I don't want to piggyback on what, you know, TP and Mike alluded to, but it wouldn't shock me if Brady found himself back in the Super Bowl. I don't know, you know what I'm saying? But I think, honestly, it's going to be in San Fran. I like what they've been able to do, and I do want to see an African-American quarterback in the Super Bowl, hopefully with the winning time. It's going to be kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, I do like San Francisco if I had to pick one. I like where TP's head's at, though, with the championship game. I do, and I like the teams at the top. For some reason, because I hate them so much, I like the Eagles because of the talent they have, the Eagles and the Niners. For some reason, I have a funny feeling. But I think if everything goes right with the talent that's in San Francisco, they should be in the Super Bowl. And I agree. I think TP said it. I just, the Rams, I think they have a lot I think they have a lot of blocks in front of them. No team has gone to back-to-back Super Bowls other than, like, a Tom Brady team. Or I think the Seahawks went to back-to-back. I could be wrong. Correct me if I'm wrong on that one. But, like,
they won one, lost the second one.
Right. And let alone win one, it's hard. It's hard to do. So I don't think that even though they have talent, I don't see that happening. And they did lose Von Miller. So, you know, it's going to be a tough sledding for them. But, TP, I'm going to come to you, and this is not a surprise. I'm going to lead you in. I'm not going to surprise you. So, but speaking of surprises, you know, I think the AFC is obviously the stronger conference in on paper right now, top to bottom. But is there a team in the NFC that you think can sneak up on anybody and kind of have a season that we didn't expect? Like, you know, last year the NFC West was really strong. It was loaded. There wasn't a lot of surprises. I think Dallas kind of came out as a surprise. Like, I think we knew they had talent, but we didn't think they were that good until the playoffs. Shout out to Dallas. I love Dallas. I love when they lose. But, I mean, like, you know, nobody expected them to be 12-5 last year. So, I mean, is there a team, like, that you see this year that could sneak up on some teams? I think you're on mute. You got it? Got it?
Can you hear me?
Gotcha.
Teams or division, because if this is where the biasness comes out of me, because I think the NFC North can do something between the Packers, the Vikings, and the Lions. I feel like all three of them can go crazy if this goes right, especially the way that the schedule is panned out for, at least for the Lions. I feel like the Lions can get anywhere from 9 to 10 or 11 wins this season. I really do feel good about that. And it, just because they came in the last place in that division, that's why the schedule kind of favors them, that they could do that type of surprise madness. If Dalvin Cook stays healthy outside of Justin Jefferson, that helps that offense stay as potent as it is. A lot of eyes will be on the likes of more or less Kirk Cousins, too. So, like, Kirk Cousins has to answer the bell as much as Jared Goff has to answer the bell. And just like, I mean, this is more or less the quarterback division because everybody's looking at what Aaron Rodgers is going to do with that big old contract, too. So I think it is between the three of them, at least in this division. And I really can't overlook the fact of what Justin Miller is up to, too. So, like, what he's able to try and pull together in Chicago, I think he'll probably end up with less than, like, 6 or 7 wins. But they're still going to be a tough game because he's a mobile quarterback and he's learned his experience in the NFL also. So I feel like that division alone, the North, can surprise a lot of people where a lot of people are overlooking them on other teams within the NFC. So I'll say the North, and the bias is out of me, but it stands true. It's not even just a full bias. It's like from what I'm seeing from Hard Knocks and everything, I feel like the Lions can do some damage to a lot of teams that are taking them, like, lightly, especially with them coming out the gate up against the Eagles. If, just like you said, you're interested in what the Eagles could do. If the Lions could come out and beat the Eagles week one, that's a notice. That's a notice to a lot of people out there in the NFL.
Yeah, because Eagles do have a lot of talent, so you will see. Harvey, who do you like as a sleeper team in the NFC? I think you're on mute if you're talking.
Hold on. I was doing the same thing. I was talking on mute. Same thing. I do look at the Lions in Minnesota in that North Division. I think that, I don't know that San Francisco's a sleeper with the talent on that roster, and people forget, much like what happened with the Saints with Tampa a couple years ago. The 49ers beat the dog mess out of the Rams during the regular season last year. Both games, like, listen, they exploited the middle of the field. We were talking about it on this very show and on our football recap about how they exposed the Rams a couple times in the regular season last year. And then I'm going to put my fan hat on just for a second, but I do believe with that Saints defense, Michael Thomas apparently is looking healthy. I think the Saints have more receivers. Chris Olave is really impressed, the kid out of Ohio State. Mm-hmm. Now you're pushing guys like Traquan and Marquez Callaway back to the 4 and 5 receivers with Jarvis Landry back, who's healthier this year. And so I think the receiving core is good if Kamara doesn't get suspended with him and Ingram as that 1-2 punch in the backfield. With what they have on defense, if Jameis Winston can minimize the turnovers and get the ball down the field, we know he's got an arm. But if he can get the ball down the field, that Saints team does have the pieces in place to be very good and be contenders in the NFC this coming up year. So, and I think that even though they were on the verge of making the playoffs last year, I think that's a team that people wouldn't be predicting that could be in that 11-12 win category. I'm not saying they're going to get that many. They do have a pretty tough schedule, but I think that the Saints could be a surprise team as well. So I'm looking for those three teams out of the North. I'm looking for one of them to really emerge. And, I mean, people would expect it out of Green Bay. But so my three most likely to surprise or win more than what people would expect, especially the average fan, would be Minnesota, Detroit, and New Orleans.
Yeah, I think Detroit has some talent, man. I really do. And there's, like, TV can tell you, there's games that I picked them to win that they should have won, and it was heartbreak hotel at the end of the game. You flip those around this year with more talent and better with better coaching, you know, sky's the limit for them. They can surprise a little bit.
And
Chandler, what
and
do you think?
Who do
you feel like is this?
Real quick, that's what you do. You can look at these games from a year ago, and you take a look at these teams, and you know, Detroit is one of them where they lost a lot of games by very, very close margins. And so, like you said, you flip a few of those around, we could be talking something different. And the one last thing I wanted to say on New Orleans, even though he's a journeyman now at this point in his career, when you look at what New Orleans had under center after Jameis got hurt, listen, with Andy Dalton in the fold, that's a decent backup quarterback if he's a guy that can at least get the ball where it's supposed to go. For the most part, so I think they're a little bit better, have a little bit more depth at the quarterback position.
Yeah, definitely a backup though. But yeah, I mean, listen, Jameis has got to stay healthy. I think he can get the job done if he, you know, takes care of the football. That's always been his big bugaboo, is taking care of the football. So, Chandler, who do you like coming out as a sleeper in the NFC?
Definitely not Minnesota, because last I checked, Kirk Cousins is still a quarterback. I know Ty has this unnatural love for Minnesota, but Kirk Cousins is still a quarterback, bro. I like Philly. I like Philly to do big things because I like Jalen Hurts, especially since, you know, Satan screwed him over. I like the kid. But I think Atlanta is going to win way more games than anybody thinks. I think Atlanta is going to win 7 or 8 games. And I think the kid Ritter is going to wind up being the starting quarterback. I liked him in college. I watched him a lot in college because I watch up here in upstate New York. We get a lot of the Ohio and that area games. So I watched him a lot. Mm-hmm. I like him. I think Chicago is going to win a couple more games than people think, simply based on the fact that Fields is really good. But for me, it would be the surprise team is going to be Atlanta. That wins, I think, 7 or 8 games. I think Philly is going to surprise you. They're going to win at least one playoff game. And I think Tyrod Taylor is finally going to finish the season as a starting quarterback, because he'll probably replace Daniel Jones around game 5.
Bingo.
Yep. Bingo. And I was going there too, Chandler, because I'm a homer, but I totally agree with you. I hope Smith, Raekwon Smith, figures it out. I would hate to see Chicago have to trade him away, even though he requested a trade. But Chicago could be interesting. You know, I think they have a quarterback. I think they, you know, they just didn't really. I don't think they built the offense around this. Seriously, I talked about it every week on the NFL show. They just didn't build it right around him, and they didn't give him a chance. I felt like that offense didn't give him a chance to be who he needed to be. So Chicago is very interesting to me. Seriously, go ahead. Who do you like?
You know what? I hate to do this because I just hate to do this, but the New York Football Giants have one of the softest schedules coming out.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And it'd be foolish of me to sit here and expect them to lose to the Panthers, lose to the Cowboys, the other division game, lose to the Bears. They got the Jaguars, Seattle, the Texans, the Lions, the Commanders twice, These football giants, you know, unless they totally implode on themselves, is probably going to be in the playoff picture. As a matter of fact, I dare say it wouldn't shock me if they won the damn division with how they are set up right now. So I hear my man talking about the Falcons. I got it, but it's going to be a tough football year for me because I'm going to have a happy villain, I believe, because I think these football giants, finally, they have a coach that seems to know what the hell he's doing. You have some decisions to make contractually, and we all understand what that means for Daniel Jones, even if Tyrod Taylor doesn't play. Saquon looks healthy. You got another couple years under their belt for their young receivers, Slayton and company. And again, looking at the defenses that they're going to be playing against offensively, they should be able to score some points. Like, the Panthers don't scare you. The Titans, you know, even though it's week one, you know, I'm saying, you stop Derrick Henry, you could pretty much stop the Titans at this point because they don't have a reliable quarterback. You know, Cowboys are the Cowboys. That's a division game. We just mentioned the Chicago Bears. So, you know, that's a coin flip depending on how you look at it. The Packers, I think they're going to take a significant step backwards because they don't have the talent on the outside to make up for the loss of Devontae Adams. The Baltimore Ravens are a question mark. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they just picked them first in the past two years' draft. So are they going to be decent by the time October hits? Seattle, they don't know who the hell their quarterback's going to be. I can keep going. You feel me? I think the Giants are going to be decent.
Mm-hmm. They're at 7.5 wins. They're over under. So I'm
going over.
Cringe to take the over. I would cringe to take that over, but I wouldn't be. I wouldn't say I'm losing my money on that bet because of the schedule. And I agree with you. I don't want to be the homer, but like I'll sing it. Like everybody on offense, I like except for Daniel Jones. And Chandler is absolutely right. If Tyrod Taylor is running the show by the end of the season, they will win some games that they probably would have lost. And I just don't believe – I think you had asked me in a chat, Sirius, and I didn't see it right away, but do I like Daniel Jones? No. Do I like the fact that I'm hearing in practice that he's, like, looking like he's lost in practice? We're talking about practice. He looks lost. Like, really? And you're in year four? Like, really? Lost, so I'm not buying him. But Saquon looks good. He's got a year removed from that, you know, from that knee injury. They got talent on the offense at the skill position. Finally, they got, you know, what I like is giving Thibodeau on defense. They got a rushing defensive end that might be able to make some noise. But so I do like that pick. But I'm curious if the Commanders could sneak up on people because they do have some talent on offense. If Wentz doesn't get in the way, that defense plays like they played 2 years ago, they could be a sneaky pick too. Like I they could be sneaky. I don't think they're better than the Eagles. I doubt that they're better than the Cowboys. They might be on the same level just because the Cowboys are dealing with so many injuries. They're not going to sneak up on anybody. If anything, I think the Cowboys are in trouble this year, to be honest with you. They're not getting the turnovers they got last year. They don't have skill on the outside. Dak should be a little better this year, but, you know, Elliott, who knows what you're getting. I'm worried about the Cowboys. So, the NFC East is up for grabs. So, and it's funny, nobody's mentioned the Cardinals. Nobody's mentioned the Cardinals. So, does anybody like what's going on in Arizona?
Kyle's still playing PlayStation. He didn't study his 4 hours.
That's his playbook, right? That's the playbook he's studying on PlayStation.
Why would I be D-Hop? They
That's
need D-Hop.
Yeah, they do. So how many games is he out, TP? Six? Six games, right?
Six.
Yeah. Yeah. So that hurts because when he got hurt last year, that team fell apart. I mean, and Murray was hurt for a little bit too, but without D-Hop, that offense just fell apart. So –
I think Hollywood Brown going in there may help them though.
But you gave up a first round pick for him. I don't know about that, man. I don't know. I would rather keep the pick, but you know, at the end of the day, Kyler, why'd you sign that contract, dude? Really? And then you try to stay face on it. The organization took it out. Like, it's out there, man. Why? You didn't even study your contract. You didn't study the playbook. You didn't even study your contract before you signed it. Like, what are we doing here? Like, seriously. Like, that's a dude that just don't. You just don't read shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm sorry, I know you're listening. I'm sorry. But still, like, you didn't even read the contract. You don't read the playbook. You don't read the contract. You don't read nothing. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, man. Oh, my God. Just sign here. You know what I mean? Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Whatever. But, you know, listen, they lost Chandler Jones. Like you said, D-Hop isn't going to be there for six games. Cardinals, they're going to be in for it. It's going to be a tough road. So, and Atlanta's a sneaky good pick, too, Chandler. They could fall apart. You know, it easily can go the other way. But, I mean, if 4.5 is their line for wins this year, I'll take that. I'll take the over on that and roll the dice on it. They won four games last year, and they probably could have been a little bit better if they didn't fall apart. So, you know, it's interesting when I'm looking. Cowboys are 10.5. I'll take the under. Detroit 6.5. I'd take the over. Packers 10.5. I probably would not touch that. That's probably right where they should be. You know, the Rams are 10.5. I'll probably stay away from that one. But, I mean, you look up and down, the Saints are 8.5. I might take the over. Giants 7.5. I'll take the over. Eagles 9.5. I'll take the over. San Francisco 9.5. Easily take the over on that.
Everybody can't go over.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. Everybody can't go over. So, I mean, Tampa Bay is 11.5. I might take the under. I think 10 wins is right where they are. Seattle is 5.5. I'll take the under. Commanders 7.5. Probably would go with the under on that one. You know, it'd be interesting. Panthers 6.5. I'll take the under. Their quarterback's a mess. Like, how do you go the whole offseason with Darnold, and then when the season's about to get ready to get going, you make a trade because you don't believe in your quarterback? That's a dumpster fire.
The Panthers will pick first in next year's draft. The Panthers will pick first in next year's draft.
They'll be fighting for that top 10, absolutely. So, absolutely. And I would take a lot of overs in the NFC because I think unders will come in the AFC because it's so loaded. Not everybody's going to win 10 games over there. So there's going to be some really good, 8-9, 9-8 teams in the AFC. So I would probably take some overs in the NFC just to kind of balance it out. But, if I had to pick one, I'd probably take the Lions over. I'd probably take the Giants over, and I would probably go with the 49ers over if I had to do a parlay. TP, we got to do a parlay, man. We got to do a parlay. So don't forget me. You know, I love doing parlays.
Yeah, we could do them weekly. Let me know. We could get them decided by the week and here on, at least at brunch.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm with it. I've definitely got to get my FanDuel account activated again, you know, on sleep mode because I don't bet on baseball, but, you know, now I got to get some over-unders for the season for football. I got to lock those in, but I'm looking at the numbers now, so it's going to be definitely interesting. Cowboys under. I'll take the under on the Cowboys. I think they'll be right at 10, maybe 9 wins. 10 wins is probably the most. Take the under. So I think that's right spot on. I don't know. Anything else you guys want to add that we can get out of here? We can, you know, I think we've done enough. A great show. A lot of people in the kitchen. Welcome back, everybody. Chandler, Mike, Sirius, everybody, welcome back. But if anybody's got anything else to add, I'll start to close this up. No, nothing? Okay. All right. So, Mr. Harvey, thank you for calling in. Let's get on out of here. Give us a plug and we get out of here quickly because I am tired. I want to go lay down and watch the Yankees. The Yankees stink. God damn it.
Base is loaded for Judge.
Yeah, there you go. That's the only bright spot. So that's all I got. But
real quick, it's always.
I think ever since I took TP to the Yankee game, we stunk. And TP apologized. You have jinxed my team. Apologize. Unbelievable. I can't even.
Real quick, it's great to be back here in the kitchen with you guys, man. It's always a pleasure to chop it up with you guys in the kitchen. It's thanks for TP. Without him, I wouldn't be here, man. Much love to Sirius and Barry, man. It's always a pleasure. Nice to chop it up with you, man, from upstate New York. I never had a chance to meet you before, so always nice to share the airwaves with chefs that these guys love and respect, man. Come check us out on Clubhouse. We got the barbershop there, over 12,000 strong, and continuing to grow. Hosting rooms and having some good content there, man. Check out all of our other stuff. Check out the website, sportscitychefs.com. Remember, you can always listen to us on all your smart speakers and everything else. Me and TP do the brunch on Sunday morning, and I'm sure there'll be more people in the kitchen with us this football season nears. And check out all of our shows and all of our stuff, man. Thanks for having me. Oh, wait. Absolutely,
Les Bon Ton Roulet. Yeah, you got to get that in. Come on, man. It ain't been that long since we've been doing a show. But thanks, Mike, for calling in. Chandler, dude, it's great to hear your voice again. Thank you so much for calling in. Please do come back regularly. Football season is about to get underway. Give us a plug as we get out of here, bro.
Just glad to talk to you guys again. I know it's been a minute. I don't have anything to plug. I'll say this. There's if anybody who has any veterans or knows any veterans, have veterans in their family, there's a new number, 988. We talk about suicide prevention, 988, and all they have to do is push one. So that's the only thing I got to say.
Yeah, man, that's good, man. Thank you for that. I definitely know some veterans that could use that. So thank you for plugging that. And it's so good to hear your voice, man. I can't wait to talk to you, some sports with you again. Sirius, you know what to do, man. Get us out of here, man. We're going to close it up.
Yo, man, it's your boy Sirius repping that 412 and the 703, man. Such a privilege and a pleasure to be back in the building with you guys, man. Yo, it's time to get back to work, man. So with that being said, grab your popcorn, grab your drinks, man. Come pull up, kick it with your boys here in the kitchen. Also there on the barbershop, man. I'm in the works, man. The NFL show is going to be coming back in the next couple weeks, talking with the powers that be. When that pigskin gets kicked off, your boy Sirius and his homeboys are going to be here talking about it, man. So definitely pull up a seat, man. I'm looking forward to getting back to it also. Finger Foods is going to be making a season 2 appearance. Myself, Gazillion, and, maybe TP are doing one or two with them. You know, since the line's going to be relevant, he may have something to talk about. So with that being said, your boy Sirius is gone, man. It's been a pleasure, man. I'll catch you with you guys on the next one.
Yeah, finger foods. I can't wait to do some finger foods. I was going to do it for baseball, but please. Judge walks in a run, great. Then what happens right after that? Double play. Thanks a lot, Gleyber Torres. TP, you have jinxed my Yankees. You can't score a run. It's ridiculous. Like, this is three
Uh-oh.
Runs
Uh-oh.
Is an offensive outburst. Three
Uh-oh.
Runs is an offensive outburst. Because, listen, you guys have no idea. I had so much fun with TP at the Yankee game a couple of weeks ago. My daughter, it was her first game. She absolutely loved it. She was TP loves my daughter. Uncle Ty is like the world to hit. I'm telling you. So she had so much fun cutting up with him. But ever since that day, this team can't score runs. Three runs is an offensive outburst.
Oh, man.
It's ridiculous.
Now you know how this fucking feels. Oh,
exactly. I can't with him. It's awful. Apologize.
I'm sorry.
Minnesota jinx.
I'm sorry.
Unbelievable. We just got to get healthy. But, I mean,
now you know how it feels.
I do. But it's going to get interesting down in September. I mean, it's hard to talk baseball when football starts, but, Mets are playing really good baseball. They're losing to the Braves, though. Braves getting hot again, Harvey. Braves getting hot. It's going to be fun down the stretch, but there's like four or five teams that are better than the Yankees right now, it's at least right now, because the Mets, Braves, Dodgers, and probably their Astros, I would take over the Yankees right now. And the Yankees are in
their
three.
Your record is better than the Astros, though. But right now, I think the Dodgers have a better record than the Mets.
Yeah.
But
if the Yankees don't get it together, TP, if they have to go game six or game seven in Houston, they ain't winning. They ain't winning. So
Astros killed them.
They better get it together. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. They got to get healthy. But it's going to be fun down the stretch. The Dodgers lost their ace pitcher. That hurts. The Dodgers are a good team. They don't have enough pitching. Mets with DeGrom looking like he is and Scherzer is just a bulldog, that 1-2 punch in the playoffs is going to be hard to stop. That's the only team I think that can do it is your Braves. That's it. And that's a tall order. So it's going to be interesting out there. But if the Mets win that division, then they have the, game one and game two in New York. That's a different beast, man. It's going to make a difference. So we'll see. It's going to be fun. But, great show as always. I love talking sports with you guys. I could do it all day. But, TP, you know what to do. Get us out of here, my big brother.
There was a song in the mid-'90s, early 90s that said, "Welcome to the jungle. We got fun and games." So now that you guys feel the pain, now you want some type of sympathy? No, you go through this jungle. Welcome to the jungle. No, I can't do it as fast as he did it. But you already know what is going on, man. The sports bliss is back, man, and football season is here. I got a different type of hype to this season because the Hard Knocks is here with my boy, so I'm loving every last minute of that. And it kind of, it gives, the prelude to, what happens to the game and so on and so forth. So it's kind of I need that mystique, but it's just extra adrenaline or steroid, however you want to use it. That's what it's given me this year. So now we got baseball, and hopefully my boys get their swagger back. It's been so up and down with the Twins right now. They lost the lead in the division, but they're trying to get back into the swing of things, and Cleveland's in the lead, and Chicago's right around. It's always something like this in the Central. It wouldn't be me without me biting my nails on everything one of my teams do. But this is what sports is about. And today is, the 17th or the 16th going into the 17th? So we're 2 weeks away from the bird month. And when the bird month come around, that's everything. Football, baseball, basketball, college football, baseball, basketball. Everything going crazy. So get ready to go bananas with us. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chef again. And if they don't know, now they know.
Wow.
Sports City, Sports City, Chef, Sports City. Kaboom, Sports City chefs is in the room, cooking up hot topics to put up on your spoon. They well in tune, bloom like a flower in June. Superman verse MF Doom, the clouds loom. So tell a friend, it's the Sports City chefs again. Pay attention, tune in, we on the